It's 11 minutes past six on our last RN Drive before the election, and the day has finally arrived. Less than 2 days to go before the polls open, the Coalition has released its long-awaited costings figures. The outcome is that the Coalition is promising its budget bottom line will be $6.4 billion better off. That is over 4 years, thanks to another round of cuts worth $9 billion. Half of those savings will come from foreign aid spending. Joining us now is the Shadow Finance spokesman, Andrew Robb. Thank you very much for your time.
My pleasure, Wally.
I'll come to the foreign aid stuff in a minute, but I'm intrigued by item 7.17, which is a dividend from stopping the boats worth $1.088 billion. How do you possibly calculate that?
Well, there's been a blowout of $11 billion because of the change in policies by Mr. Rudd and the 50,000 plus people that have arrived. We have made a series of assumptions about the impact of the program of measures that we will put in place, and we consider that an extremely conservative reduction over 4 years.
What are those assumptions? Because I haven't been able to find them. Are they public?
No, they're not. They're quite extensive. That's why we've had, like the government has with Treasury, that's why we've had the Parliamentary Budget Office, and in turn we've had the review panel of three eminent public finance specialists who have gone through every assumption, every piece of work, every announcement, every page, anything that's been presented and been the interchange with the Parliamentary Budget Office over the last 6, 8, 10 months. All of that has been considered, including this issue, and they have verified that it is that these figures are based on reasonable assumptions, and that
surely on something as speculative as this, as how many boats are going to be stopped per year. I see, for example, you're saving $274 million in the 2014-15 financial year. That's quite an extraordinary thing, figure to come up with when we can't even examine the assumptions. This is highly speculative territory in anyone's book. Well, and if we can't examine the assumptions, we can't trust those figures.
Well, every budget has programs like this. The government made assumptions. They are now $11 billion over the assumptions that they made. There were other costs that they had already booked.
I understand assumptions must be made. I'm saying we should be able to examine them. Your side of politics has been running hard for six years on fiscal restraint and on getting the budget back into surplus. You have now, after all of that huffing and puffing, after all of that bluster, you've come up with $6 billion worth of savings over 4 years, and over $1 billion of it is on something as speculative as what the dividend will be from stopping boats, when you can't tell me how many boats you're going to stop in each financial year.
Well, we did make, there have been quite rigorous workings on all of this. It has gone through our review panel. We have got form on this. We did stop the boats. When Kevin Rudd took over, despite the push factors being much stronger in our period of office previously, there were four people only, not even a handful, in detention. Now there's over 50,000. And we do have a record of stopping the boats. We will be effective, and a lot of it's a matter of political will. But the assumptions that were made in the calculations that we've laid down are extraordinarily conservative.
Can you give me an example of them? Because at the moment I'm completely in the dark on how you decide that in 2016-17, for instance, you'll save $413 million for stopping boats.
Well, if you stop the boats, you haven't got, you know the costs of holding people in detention. You know the costs of processing.
So how many people won't be in detention in 2016-17? It's costing $12.3
million per boat to process them. That arrive every on average every boat that arrives at Christmas Island. It's all these sorts of there's many complicated factors that go into making this sort of analysis.
Okay,
the bottom line is, Wally, this is standard practice. This was ratified, verified. We satisfied three people, who Penny Wong said this morning she was very satisfied with our review panel. So therefore, she must be satisfied with what they have ticked off on.
Because I don't see how, I mean, I don't question their integrity. I don't see how anyone is in a position to decide how many boats are going to be stopped in any given year and exactly what the saving is going to be. You would have to concede, at the very least, that this is highly speculative territory.
No, I don't. I mean, we have got a lot of experience in dealing with this issue. We have been saying to the government now for 6 years, do not do what you're doing, make these sorts of changes, and you will see a demonstrable improvement.
I understand
none
that
of that's
point.
Happened.
I'm now talking about putting figures on it in this way.
Well, but you can put figures. We know what it costs to process a boat. If we are able to stop a percentage of the boats each year in the first instance and progressively get on top of this issue, we can make quite acceptable and logical and supportable assumptions.
Okay, I understand that point, but just to be clear, we are talking then about an assumption that your policies will work exactly in the way you say they will work.
No, not exactly. We have made very conservative assumptions.
Let me just clarify this. Why is it that you save more every year as a result of this? Do more boats get stopped year on year?
We progressively, and bear in mind, there's 30,000 people here or more that we've still got to process. Right? They haven't started, really, to process them. We've got to deal with that problem before while we're trying to stop the more boats coming. Right? So if we do get the privilege of government on the weekend, we will be landed with a massive management problem just with the people who are here, many of them in the community. You know the situation.
Sure, but why is it that you save more money in progressive years? How does that work?
Well, because we get on top of that management problem. And if we stop the boats progressively, we reduce that 30,000 that are here already that need to be processed. We reduce the cost of processing. We reduce the manpower needed, you know, at every stage.
Okay.
We don't spend the same amount of money on looking after people and feeding people and giving them health and medical.
When does your assumption say the last boat will arrive?
You're just being unreasonable, I think, Waleed. I mean, we have made quite reasonable assumptions. In fact, we've made extremely conservative assumptions. They have gone through a very rigorous process. And it is a process not dissimilar that you would see year in, year out from Treasury. The people in the Parliamentary Budget Office are overwhelmingly former Treasury officials. The fellow running it is a former senior finance official.
I'm not questioning their integrity.
No, it's not a question of integrity. But secondly, it's their expertise. And their expertise is in making these sorts of calculations and seeing whether the assumptions that we have made are reasonable based on the advice that we've got. And that's why we've gone through a process which is unprecedented in terms of its complexity, its rigour, and it's all there in front of people. And in fact, you know, despite the sort of commentary that's made, overwhelmingly 3/4 of our savings have been out there in very detailed form for a week, in some cases for up to several months. Most of these initiatives on the policy side have been out there for months. And what we did today was announce the last 25% of savings.
Okay, and that's what I'm trying to go through. I hope it's reasonable to ask about this, because The Australian has reported today that certain core policies, direct action, border protection, sorry, I suppose that's stopping the boats policy, the alternative NBN that you're proposing, didn't go to the Parliamentary Budget Office. Now, is that true?
Well, the NBN didn't, but the NBN, the Parliamentary Budget Office, as like the Treasury, are not equipped to properly determine the costings of those policies. So we put the NBN costings out to a range of independent private sector organisations who were competent to make those assessments.
When did you last make that assessment? How long ago did you make that assessment on the NBN?
Well, a lot of that work was done, Malcolm Turnbull spent 3 years sort of working it up and costing it. But that has been reviewed, and in fact reviewed as late as the last week. But all of that costing and the assumptions and all the working papers and every component that was inputted into that, which was literally hundreds of pages, again have gone to the independent review committee for them to make a judgment about the veracity of the assumptions and the impact that that would have on the bottom line. Now, in the same way, the direct action policy, it's capped. We've heard all this nonsense from the government, that the willful lies that have been told for weeks, and they're still going on today.
So are you saying your spending on the NBN is capped?
It's so capped. Even no, you... I said, no, the spending on the NBN is capped, actually, and the spending on the direct action program is also
capped. Okay, so that's interesting, because if the NBN project blows out, if it ends up being a little bit more costly than you've assumed...
Capped. It's capped.
You're just not going to finish it?
It's capped. No, of course we'll finish it, but... they are required to work. This is a phenomena that's sort of strange to many people in this current government. You know, if you don't live within your means, you just go and borrow more money. That's
okay,
why we've
got to... I understand the rhetorical point.
No,
I'm sorry,
Waleed. You're making imputations here about our policy.
No, I'm just asking a question. If there is a cost blowout, and it would not be unprecedented that you would have a cost blowout on a project of this size... What would you do? Do you just stop building?
No, they will be required to go back and recalibrate to fit in with the budget, the money that they've got to roll it out. So the money is capped. Now, there's probably millions of private sector organisations who confront this sort of problem every day. They've got so much money that they can spend, they've got to live within their budget or they will go broke. And it's not a strange phenomena, and... It just gets back to project management.
Okay,
and
you're saying
this is a management issue,
and that won't happen to you because you know how to manage a project. Okay, I understand the point that you're making. Let's talk about the foreign aid. So you're tying it now to indexation. So effectively, in real terms, foreign aid won't increase at all. And meanwhile, our economy is growing in real terms. So
it's not. Well, it's 2.5%. You know, inflation's of that order. So the economy is floundering. That's the bottom line. And
sorry, but are you saying that our foreign aid will not decrease as a proportion of GDP?
I'm saying that in real terms, it will not decrease, but the budgeted increase over the next 4 years in foreign aid funding of $4.5 billion will be redirected into infrastructure, which will help the economic capacity of our country and enable us to get back to a sustainable surplus, at which point we can then make rational decisions about what we can then afford as a country.
Okay, I understand the point, but you're still committed to the Millennium Goals, which would be to increase our foreign aid investment as a proportion of GDP. Doesn't that mean that at some point you're going to have to ramp foreign aid up really quite radically?
It means we're going to have to increase it significantly. And
when do you say that might happen?
Well, when we get the economy back on a sustainable footing. I mean, we have got a debt... It's gone from zero to $340 billion in the space of just 5.5 years. And we have got the five biggest deficits in our history, despite the biggest resources boom in our history.
Yeah.
We have to start, as a country, as a government in particular, living within our means. Otherwise, we are very vulnerable to unforeseen events that are outside of our control elsewhere in the world.
Just finally, you've got a saving that's down to a 0.25% efficiency dividend on the public service,
yes,
which is effectively saying we're just going to cut your budget by 2.25% and you've got to deal with that. But what I'm interested in knowing is, how did you arrive at that figure? Who did you consult with on the public service to figure out whether or not it was possible to do this?
Well, it's our judgment. I mean, we've got people who've been... 16 of our front bench have been former ministers, right?
And not for 6 years, though. I mean, you've got to know what's going on in the public service right now and exactly how much you can save.
Well, they've all been working in their own portfolio areas, and they do know a lot of what's happening within the public service. They do know, we look across the growth of the numbers in the public service. It's largely middle management. And you look at the number of reports to the middle managers. In many cases, you know, an EL2, which is a very well-paid and senior position, has only got one or two reports.
Now, but this dividend doesn't come from middle management. It comes from other areas.
No,
I'm wondering who you
spoke
to about
that. No. Dividend comes from whatever they decide to do.
No, but I'm looking at your press release. Limitations on government advertising and consultancies as well as government travel. That's not middle management. So who did you consult with to get the 0.25% figure on those?
Well, we've been asking now for 3 years Senate estimates questions, right? Well, we're in the business of government, and
That's the point.
I'm telling you, all my colleagues, they shadow. That's the term. You know, we shadow a minister, and it is our job to know what's happening. It is our job to ask at Senate estimates.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time, Andrew Robb. We've been looking forward to this for a long time, so I'm appreciative of your generosity in the circumstances. Always good to lock horns with you.
Yeah,
and
good.
We may well do so after the election.
Indeed. Okay, all the best.
Andrew Robb, opposition finance spokesman. Are you convinced? Do you think these figures will stand up? Are they a bit watery? Do you think that actually it outlines a very good direction for the country to go? 0418 226 576. Twitter at RNDrive.